This morning I plan to look at a passage in Ephesians. I always enjoy Ephesians. It's probably one of my favorite books that I go to for just practical teaching and truth. I'd like to go to Ephesians chapter 4. Before I read that passage, I'd like to tell you a story. I had the privilege of taking my oldest son this week to the driver's center to take his learner's test. Brand new experience for me. It's one that's pretty exciting, actually, but a little bit nerve-wracking. And so we went to a brand new building that was different than what I went to. Even though I lived in Chambersburg all my life, now they have a new facility. And so Austin didn't know it, but I was a little bit nervous because I didn't know what I was doing. So I said, well, we're just going to go in here and we're going to figure it out. So we go into the counter and there's a person there. And they say, what are you here for? And Austin said, well, I'm here to take a learner's permit test. And she said, sure, take a number. So they didn't know who we were, but now we're identified by B2333. And she said, go sit down. You'll be called when it's your turn. And so there's a whole bunch of chairs setting up. If you've been in Chambersburg Driver Center, you know what I'm talking about. A whole bunch of chairs. And we had to decide where to sit. Well, where do you think I sat? I sat clear in the back. I didn't want anyone to see me. I didn't know what I was doing. I said, let's sit right here. Some empty chairs back here. We sat in the back. I didn't want people to watch me. And so the fun thing about sitting in the back is you get to watch other people. And so we sit there and we watch. And you see all of a sudden the numbers would be called. We're B2333. We don't know when our number is going to be called, so we sit there with anticipation. It's going to soon be my turn. And for some reason the numbers were in A. And so it was A4310. And somebody would get up and go up to the counter. Then it's A53-something. And they weren't calling our number. And I began to get nervous. Did I make a mistake? Do I got my boy sitting at the wrong spot? Did I do the right thing? But I keep sitting there. It's like, surely, sooner or later, they're going to call my number. And so as I watched people go up to the counter. I watched some people have success. And they would walk away with a smile on their face. I watched some people walk away in discouragement because they didn't bring the proper forms of identification. They were there to make a change to the drivers or something, and they did not have what they needed. And they had to leave. They had to come back. I watched another young fellow that took his driver's test, and he came back shaking his head. Nope, didn't get it. Disappointed. Going to have to come back. We're still waiting. We're still waiting. And finally, after 30 minutes of waiting, B2333 was called. Now it's my time. Now it's our time. And we had to get up and walk about as far from the back to the front in front of all the people, and they could see us. We're B2333. And we walk up to the counter, and the official says, what are you here for? And so Austin told him that he's here to take a test. Told him his name. Here's my point. There was no hiding my identity anymore. I had to get up off the back bench and walk to the front of everybody. They now knew who B2333 was. It was a boy and his son. And when I got up to the official, I had to provide my identification. And I had to say, this is who I am. I had to have proper forms of identification. We had to have driver's license to prove who I am. Austin had to have a birth certificate to prove who he was. See, I'd have liked to have said, I'm Marvin Rosenberry. Isn't that how we are? We like to take on someone else's identity. I'd like to hide under someone else's identity and try to act like I'm someone I'm not. Where do you live? I live on Warm Spring Road. What's your identity say? See, my identity said I live on 3641 New Franklin Road. He didn't care what I said. It was what the identification said about me. What is your identification saying about you this morning? My title is True Identity. Can you prove your identity this morning? Do you have something that says, this is who I am? I'm not a fake. I'm a real person. And can you prove it? That's where my thoughts are going this morning. Someday, you won't be able to sit on the bench. You won't be able to sit in the back. You won't be able to sit in the front. Someday, our number's going to be called, and we're going to have to walk up in front, and we're going to have to say, this is who I am. Are you ready for that time? True identity. It's not what you say, but it's who you are. I'd like to read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. I'd like you to follow along. I'm going to read several verses to the end of the chapter. Ephesians 4, verse 17 says, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, and the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. I'd like to go down through these verses and try to understand what he's saying. Try to make it practical. The first thing we notice in verse 17, he says, walk not as the other Gentiles walk. He's telling us how not to walk. Now, what does he mean by that? What's he talking about, how someone walks? Is it how I walk up here? He's talking about don't walk like Vernon Shank. He walks kind of slow. Don't walk like him. What does he mean? Someone tell me. Okay, what I say and what I do. I heard another response. The way you live. It's the way I live my life. It's what I say and what I do. It's what I think. It's who I truly am. That's what he's saying. He's saying, don't walk like the Gentiles. Are you a Gentile this morning? We're all Gentiles. There's nothing special about us. We live in the Gentile world, but we consider our lives to be sanctified and cleansed. And so he's saying, don't live as those other people. The world that you live in, this is the way they live. And he goes on to describe that. I'd like to look at that. He's saying, don't walk as the other Gentiles. The other Gentiles, because we live among other Gentiles. But we are different. How are we different this morning? He says, walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds. Vanity. What do you think of when you think of vanity? Like to hear a response. Keeps you awake.
Proud.
When someone's vain, they're proud. What goes along with pride? Do you have another definition, maybe? Putting on a vain show. Puffed up. Full of themselves. Don't walk as other Gentiles walk, they're putting on a vain show. They're all full of themselves. All they can think about is me, myself, and I. Life revolves around me. Vanity of their minds. Emptiness. I had to think of bringing a helium balloon this morning. We always say a balloon's all puffed up, right? As soon as you prick it, it just poof. There's nothing there. It's gone. That's what the other Gentiles, the people that's around us, that's the vain minds. Moral depravity. Or we could say just plain stupidity. You look in the world around us and there's just a lot of stupidity that is taking place. And he's saying, don't walk in the stupidity of your minds. Don't do it. Our minds can really be foolish. It's that look at me. Look at what I can do. Vanity, pride. It's like a drunk person. They know they're going to get drunk. They know they're going to do stupid things. And they hate it. But they go right back to it. And we say, that's foolish. That's vain. Why do you do it? Well, it's for a little bit of pleasure. It makes me feel good. The vanity of their minds. Or we could think about, when we think about a foolish lifestyle, a puffed up person, we think of famous people. And we know a lot of famous people. Those famous people come and go. I've been impressed already, or I've been amused, I'll say it that way, by the famous Atkins diet. Now, if you're as old as I am, which I'm not very old, you'll know what I'm talking about. The Atkins diet was very popular in 2003 and 2004. It was everywhere. You want to lose weight? The Atkins diet. It's a low-carb diet. Eat a lot of low carbs, you're going to lose a lot of weight. The man's name was Robert Atkin. It was his diet. It was his plan. And when I did a little bit of research to it, it said it was a diet it was a fad diet because there was no science behind it to prove that it worked. It lasted for 2 years. The man died and they filed bankruptcy. It was famous. You went to the grocery stores, they had whole sections marked out for the Atkins diet. Here's the food you want. It's vain. It's vain. It's glory that just, it's gone. One day you're well known, next day you're dead. It's gone. We're thinking, what is vain? Things that are focused on the right here and the now and not focused on eternity. He's saying, don't walk that way. That's what this world is doing. This world is pouring themselves into their business adventures. They're thinking about the things right here and now. But we are thinking about eternity. We're thinking about what's going to happen later. Let's go on. Verse 18 says, having the understanding darkened. What does it mean to have someone's understanding darkened? We're following this thought. He's saying, don't walk this way. Don't walk with your understanding darkened. I put down you can't think on a deep level. You don't want to think on a deep level. You don't want to think about eternity. You don't want to think about the things that are serious. You can't have a serious thought. The way the other Gentiles live, well, life's all fun, games, and giggles. Isn't that how they say it? It's all about the party. They have their understanding darkened. They don't want to think about eternity. You've heard people say, oh, it's such a morbid thought. Let's not think about it. They don't want to think about what life is about, eternity. Let's not think about it now. Let's just think about other things. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. Alienated from God. What is an alien? I was hoping Brother Will is going to be here this morning because he could tell us what an alien is. Apparently, the TV shows are full of aliens. These little green men that come from another planet that I don't believe in. That's what this world says an alien is. It's somebody that doesn't belong here. A foreigner, a stranger, being alienated from God. A stranger to God. Someone that don't belong to God. They're alienated because of the vanity, the foolishness, the pride that's in their minds. They're alienated from God. Verse 18, the end of it says, being alienated from God, the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness in their heart. And as I went down through this, I was trying to understand what these all talking about. The blindness in their heart. Is he talking about being blind like the way I walked? Is he saying that they're blind in their heart because they can't see? They're blind, like Fanny Crosby was blind. Is that what he's talking about? I don't think so. I think he's talking about they're becoming spiritually blind because of the choices that they make. And I would like to illustrate it this morning. At least I'm going to try to. We can become spiritually blind by the love of the world because it's what we allow to blind our hearts. And I brought along some hearts this morning because hearts is supposed to symbolize, right, love. Isn't that what hearts stand for? Love of things. And so this morning, if I would have my glasses and I would put the love of the world on them, do you think I'm going to see this morning? Do you think I would see very well? Well, that might look just downright foolish. But you know, I can't see this morning. I'm blind. I can't see the back row. Every time I look at you, I can't see nothing. The blindness of your heart because of the love of the world. It's the world we live in. They have that love stuck right in front of their eyes. And they can't see a serious thing about life. I got the love of the world. I got the love of entertainment. I got the acceptance, fame, and fortune. But they can't see themselves. And I'd rather see you this morning. So I'm going to get the love of the world out of my life. And now I'm not blind anymore. It's really a lonely life because all I could see was myself. It was my desires, my wishes, the things that I wanted to do. Being blind, the blindness in their heart. Just go crashing into things. If I was to come down and try to walk around, I'd walk right into the bench because I couldn't see. Crashing into seeing. They're crashing into themselves because that's all they can see. Verse 19 says, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness. What does past feeling mean? I thought of it this way. If I do mason work, which I don't enjoy laying block, but I have done laying block, and you handle block all day long, you're picking them blocks up, or maybe you're running a trowel. At the end of the day, I'm going to have blisters all over my hands because of that trowel. And my hands become raw. But you know, if you do it long enough, after a bit you're going to get blisters, or calluses in place of those blisters. It's just layers of dead skin, and it builds up and it becomes calloused. And then you can't feel it anymore. I can grab them concrete blocks, I can grab that trowel, and I can twist it in my hand, and my hand's tough. I'm past feeling. I don't have any feeling in my hands anymore. It's because of the calluses. It's because of the layers of dead skin that just have built up and make me that I don't feel. We're talking about Don't walk this way. Don't walk as the Gentiles walk in the blindness of their hearts, with their calluses, with their alienated from God. The next phrase is lasciviousness. Lasciviousness, we'll just call it filthy dirtiness. It's in the world all around us, just filthiness. That's all the people can think. Don't walk as other Gentiles walk, that they're just full of filthiness and dirt, and they just love to revel in it. Like an old pig. Is there ever such a thing as a clean pig? I suppose if you wanted to take one to a show, you could get him out, you could scrub him all up, you could even tie a little ribbon around his neck, and he'd be a beautiful pig, if there is such a thing. He's clean, he smells good, he looks good. But put him back in his pen, what's he going to do? Go right for the manure, go right for the mud. He revels in it, he lays in it, he smears himself in it. Giving themselves over unto lasciviousness, the filthiness of this world. That's the world we live in. He's saying, don't do it. Don't be a part of it. Keep yourself from it. But, verse 20. But, there's a change of thoughts here. He says, but you're different. But, you know something different. You know about Christ. You've been taught. You've went to church all your life. But, you know something about Jesus this morning. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, which all of us have been, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man. We're talking about the old corrupt deeds of the old man. I'd like to try to illustrate a little bit the idea, the concept of the old man this morning. It's something we all struggle with. Right? We all grow up. We don't have to put on the old man. But to be, for the sake of the illustration this morning, I'm going to have to put on the old man. So I brought an old shirt along this morning. I wish I had one that was ratted and tattered. Should have some tears in it. It should be smeared up. But I don't. So this will work for the illustration. And so now I have on the old man. And you know, the old man just really doesn't do anything to enhance one's looks. You just downright look silly wearing the old man. But we have to put up with the old man because we all have the old man on this morning. And he says, put off the old man. How do you put off the old man? Now here's the thought this morning. We all know how to get rid of the old man. How do you put off? Well, you take it off, right? But you know what do you know what I'm tempted to do when I have the old man in my life? I like the old man. Makes me feel good sometimes, even though I don't look real good with it. And so what I want to do is, I won't take it off, I'll just cover it up. So I got this plain suit here this morning, and there's no righteousness in this plain suit coat. But I'm going to try to look real good. I think I look pretty good here this morning. I look righteous. I think I do. You see anything strange about me? And so when you look at me, you say, there is something weird about you this morning. You don't look very... There's something wrong with you. That's what happens when we try to cover up the old man. He's still inside. You can still see the old man because I never took him off. See, I want to look good. I want to hide my identity. I want to say, I want you all to think good about me. And so... Oh, you still see the old man here. And so I start buttoning up my suit coat. And he's still sticking out. So I've got to tuck him down here a little bit. You know, and you can try to hide him. And maybe if I get good, maybe I can hide the old man. But while I'm doing that, he's probably sticking out somewhere else. That's what happens to a lot of Christianity. They forget they have to take him off. There's only one way to take off the old man. That's what you got to get rid of him. You got to take him off. And you get rid of it. See, I could keep the old man. I can lay him here, keep him close by, and I could rush to get to the next chapter. It says, put on. So I'm going to quick grab a new man, put him on. Now I think I'm righteous, but I still got the old man here. What do you do with the old man? Get him out of there. Get him away from your life. Don't use it as a cloak to go back to. Don't use the old man as a crutch. That's what he's saying. Put off concerning the former conversations, the old man. Put it off. But then there's a step. Before you put on the new man, what does it say? See, we rush pretty fast to put on the new man, and you have to. When you take something out of your life, you have to fill it. But verse 23 says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You need a new brain this morning. You need a whole new way of thinking this morning. Once you get the old man out of your life, get him out of there. Throw it away. Don't go back and pick it up. But you need a renewed mind. Or your mind is going to go, wonder where that old man is. Where's that carnality? I'm going to go find it. I'm going to go looking for it. And next thing I know, here he is. And you know, if I ain't careful, I'm going to start trying to maybe drape him around my shoulders or something. You can't do that. You need a new mind. A cleansing of your mind, a new way of thinking. Get those old desires out of your life. It's going to be new goals, new desires, new vision. A renewed mind will keep us separated from the world. You want how you know? Here's a test to know if you have a new mind, the renewed mind, is when you have the opportunity to do something that is not good. Then it becomes really clear what's inside my mind. When you have the opportunity to look at pictures that you should not, or to read a story that you should not, to say words that should never come out of your mouth, you have the opportunity to do it. But what happens? Do you have a renewed mind? Or are you clinging to your old man, and all of a sudden he slips out, and you can see signs of the old man? Verse 24, put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now I would like to spend the rest of the time talking about the old man and the new man. Because it gives a whole list of things, symptoms of what the new man is and the old man. So we have the old man, and over here we're going to have a new man. Give me some list. What is something that you see? Or maybe we should read the verses. I'm going to start at verse 25 and you follow along. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now, as I read down through there, surely it stood out to you. Give me some symptoms of the old man.
Lying.
Stealing.
You say stealing? We got that one.
Bitterness.
Bitterness.
Evil speaking.
All right, my board got full. So let's go over to this side now and let's contrast the difference between the old man and the new man. We have lying. What's in contrast to lying?
Speaking truth.
Truth. What's in contrast to stealing?
Contentment.
Contentment. What's some more phrases?
Working.
Working. It says working to give. What about anger? And I should have put uncontrolled anger because we had that discussion in our Sunday school class this morning that we can't control or we need to control. But there, we will have that emotion of anger that wells up. Uncontrolled anger. What does the new man do?
Doesn't give place to the devil.
Doesn't give place to the devil. Another thing we could balance out, uncontrolled anger, is just righteous indignation. There are times that we become angry at the injustice we see in this world. We could call that a spiritual anger, but we never condone ourselves for our uncontrolled anger. Corrupt communication. What is the new man do? I'm sorry.
Edification.
What about bitterness? That's the old man. We took it off. What do we replace it with?
Chapter 5, verse 2 says, walk in love.
Love. Also Verse 32 talks about being kind and tenderhearted. To me, it stands in a stark contrast to bitterness of a caring heart. Love for one another. Evil speaking. What's the stark contrast to that one?
Truth.
Truth.
We have truth that we started with, lying. Evil speaking, it goes... They're so similar. Is there any other word you would like to, with evil speaking?
You could put encouragement.
Encouragement.
Encourage. Verse 4 says, give
my spelling's not good, but you understand what I mean. Encouragement and thankfulness. This list stands in stark contrast one to another. The one says, take it off. Get it out of your life and let it be no part of you. See, it's an identity. There's an identity of the old man. It is who you are. I don't care who you say you are. But if these fruits is a part of your life, a lie, that you're known, you can't be trusted. You'll pull a good, you'll sell anything. You'll just stretch the truth a little bit. Lying. Stealing, taking something that's not yours. Keeping it for yourself. Anger, outburst of anger when things don't go wrong. Just let it fly. Give someone a piece of your mind. Corrupt communication.
bitterness, just reveling in what the wrongs they've done to you. It feels good to go over that old story, how I've been treated so wrong. You did me a dirty deed. I'll never forget it. And you just revel in it, bitterness. Evil speaking. Maybe gossip could go with that too. Saying ugly things about each other. That's the old man. He says, take it off and replace it with the new man. Replace it with godliness. Replace it with truth. May your speech be known as truthful. That when you say something, you said, that brother always tells the truth. He is trustworthy. He's a godly man. Truth. Contentment. Working hard to give in offerings this morning. You could have put that money in your pocket. It could have been the project that you wanted so bad, your little hobby. $300 would go a long way at buying a new gas grill. It could have been yours. But instead, you said, I'm going to give. I've worked hard so I can give to the needs and help with other people. No place for the devil. Getting the old man out of here. Throwing him far away. So that you never go back to give yourself reason. No place for the devil. Edification. Building each other up. Looking for the good in each other. Saying, God bless you, brother. You did a wonderful job. Seeing the good in each other. Edifying. Love. Encouragement. Thankfulness. It should all be a part of the new man. Now, you can look at the list and you can compare your life and you can say, where am I in my Christian life? I can have a plain suit on this morning. I can have it all buttoned up and I can look very righteous. I can look good. I can have you all fooled. See, if these traits are in my life, if I have a plain suit on and I'm stealing, and you say, I picked the one that none of us would struggle with, right? But maybe I don't always tell the truth. Then I never got the old man out of my life. I'm still clinging to him. But if I can see the fruit of contentment, the fruit of truthfulness, the fruit of edification, of love, you can know that you have a renewed mind, that you have put on that new man, and that God's blessing is on your life. In chapter 5, it says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Followers of God as dear children. You know, children will follow their parents because they look up to them. Children will follow the person that they love or adore. It is so fun to watch a little child, to watch their character traits. Just the very way that you turn the pages to your Bible. You ever lick your fingers and turn your page, and all of a sudden you see your child licking their left hand and turn the page with the right hand? They don't know why you licked your fingers. It's just that mom and dad did. Just the beautiful innocence of a child. But they are following their parents. Just as we are following God this morning. We love our Lord so much that we want to pattern our life like Him. Walking in love, making every attempt to follow our Lord. Christ hath loved us and has given everything for us. May we follow Him. So this morning, get that old man out of your life and put on the new man. Be renewed in your mind. And follow the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will have a new identity in Him. Let us kneel for prayer.